coming back once again for another episode of OC Spotlight. The only show that takes a look at the most incredible people doing the most amazing things right here in your own backyard. Many weeks we feature events, incredible things going on that you may or may not know about, and this week's no different. We have with us today, is it Griffin Healy? Did I say that correctly?
Sure you did.
I think we just gave away what we're talking about here, folks. I'm going to slip into the brogue that my grandmother used to say whenever she felt the urge here. We're talking with the man who runs the Irish Fair, I guess, of Southern California.
You guys, I'll help you with that.
All right.
I run the Irish Fair and Music Festival of Southern California.
There you go. And it happens to be here in Orange County. Why Orange County, of all things? Just because you live here? Or why isn't it up in L.A.? Why isn't it in San Diego? I don't know. How did we get lucky?
Well, there's a lot of answers to that, but the most decent answer,
well, we live 20 minutes, so.
We were invited to the city of Irvine at the Great Park by Melissa Fox, one of the council members there, who's been going to the Irish Fair for years. And it's a lovely place. It's nice and flat because it was a Marine Corps Air Station.
Yeah, right.
So we have room to park the several thousand cars we need, and we have room for the people that are going to be there, 10,000 to 15,000 people.
And this is coming up when?
It's June 15th and 16th, which coincidentally is Father's Day.
Ah,
so okay. Drag your father out there if you have nothing else to do.
Or your local priest, I don't know.
One of those. There's more fathers than priests.
That's probably true. Well, it's a two-day event, and what will we see if we're privileged enough to go there?
There's a lot of things going on at this Irish Fair. It's a thing that's done for the Irish people, the people that are not Irish, who want to be Irish.
Which is half the world, it seems.
Yes,
like.
It does. They're everywhere. Sure we are. But we have 9 bands set up for the thing with 15 music and dancing areas of the fair. We have St. Patrick's Day parades, which, of course, we don't have on the streets of Los Angeles anymore.
No, it's too hard to form and get permits and everything, so why not just do it at a park here?
Well, that's what we do. So we have it on the Saturday and the Sunday, so we all see the parade. And we have bagpipes leading the parade. We have in the parade, we have all sorts of Irish breeds of dogs, including the Grand Wolfhounds.
We're going to talk about all this in a second, but I got to give you a little background. For those who've listened to the show long enough, I'm always celebrating my Irish heritage, which I discovered late in life. When I was a little boy in suburbia, growing up in the Midwest and later out here, I don't have red hair. I don't have a name that ends with O'Leary or O'Reilly or something, so it didn't seem like I felt that Irish. And I joined Ancestry.com a couple years ago. And lo and behold, the story is this, that my great-grandfather, one of my great-grandfathers, came over during the famine, as many did, which was what, the 1840s?
1840s through 1849, I guess, at the end of it. 1847 was the big year, though.
All right, so get this now, folks. So my great-grandfather was born on the boat. They called them coffin ships because they'd pack so many people in that tons of them would die. They'd take a boat that was supposed to hold 30, and they'd put 300 in it. And there was one boat that famously didn't have that kind of death certificate. It was called the Jeannie Johnston. Now, I never heard of this boat, but go look it up on Wikipedia, J-E-A-N, like Jean, I-E, Jeannie Johnston, S-T-O-N. And why is this boat so celebrated? Because it was one of the few boats owned by an Irishman, and he insisted on having a doctor. So because of that, my great-grandfather lived. He was on the maiden voyage, mentioned in this Wikipedia article, as I've discovered. And that's my one big take from being on Ancestry. Wow, my great-grandfather is famous in Ireland. Here he was just a bartender. My grandmother was embarrassed to tell me anything about him.
Yeah.
But in Ireland, apparently, there's a statue of he and his mother in the Famine Museum, and it's a celebrated story. And in fact, when I went on there, turns out he's from Tralee, this little town in Western Ireland. And they were going to fly us over. This is when my aunt was still alive, and unfortunately she couldn't go, and we didn't go. But I've always thought, wow, what a story I discovered. It turns out I got somebody who has some celebrated history here. Born in a boat, he lived, and he celebrated. Now, cut to today. We're two Irishmen. Every time he slips into the brogue, I have to start doing my version of it. And I tell him, let me tell you this story. And he says, I'll go you one better. And how can you tap into that story here? How do you carry on that?
Well, in any event, I'm from Tralee in Kerry.
You're from Tralee, yeah. Exactly.
So now, as a matter of fact, that's a small part of the world. But in the meantime, they made a replica of the Jeannie Johnson ship that traveled from Tralee to Ellis Island and to Canada
right.
over the years. And they're making a replica.
This boat is so famous that my great-grandfather was born on it. He was born on the maiden voyage. They made a replica of this boat and put it outside the Famine Museum in Dublin, right? And you worked on it.
Well, you're a little bit Irish altogether as well, because I tell you that.
Am I anyway, exaggerating a bit?
Okay. Getting past the nonsense. Now, when they were building it in a shipyard, a small wee one there, in Tralee.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of money went into it. I think it cost over $15 million to build this wee ship that was about 120 feet.
Yeah.
And there I am, hitting nails into wood, building this replica of the Jeannie Johnson. And I hadn't thought about that since, I guess I did that 10 or 12 years ago until talking to you, which makes it a very, very small world.
So what are the odds that you would bump into here in Orange County then, umpteen years later, the great-grandson of the celebrated baby born in that boat here? I mean, that just seems impossible.
Sure, it's amazing. But Tralee is not just a wee small town now. Since 1959, we have the Rose of Tralee.
I've learned that too, yeah.
Which is a lovely song, as you know. But then we have these girls from 72 centers around the world. There's 14 in America alone that are Irish and that go into the thing.
See, they're calling you about it right now.
Sure, no. Somebody I owe money to, I suppose.
Is that a small list or a long list?
Well, it depends on the day.
Okay.
I'm now going to try to turn this sucker off.
All right.
But in any event, did make the thing, and it was...
Here you go. Did it for you.
And it was a fun thing to do, actually. And then the riggers all came from the Nordic countries to rig the sails and all. There is a motor in the thing, but they rarely use it. And then we sailed it from Tralee, the head of the Rose of Tralee, people that were all there, waving us away, around the Horn into Dublin Harbor.
Well, I looked it up while you're talking. This is from Wikipedia about the Jeannie Johnson. Go look it up. On the maiden voyage, I'm reading from it, from Tralee to Quebec in April of 1848, a boy was born aboard the ship. To mark the unusual surroundings of his birth, the parents, Daniel and Margaret Riley, my great-great-grandparents, named the baby Nicholas. That's the one that was my grandmother's father, after the co-owner of the vessel. And he was actually, what they don't say, named after all the members of the crew, 11 of them. So he used to delight the kids, apparently, when this is like, I don't know, whatever, turn of the century, and he would rattle off all his names and everything. So here we are, all from that to this, we're back celebrating. And the only reason I tell that story, not just because I think it's amazing, because there's a little Irish in all of us, isn't there? I'm fourth generation. I never heard these stories. I never felt the connection to the old sod. And somehow, as I've gotten older, I have found a deep interest in the subject matter. So I've found myself going to Irish fairs and sending my adopted Mexican daughter to Irish dancing classes and all this. So what's behind this great resurgence of interest? Is it just Americans trying to find their roots, or is there something more to it?
Well, everybody who is Irish, just a little bit, even a wee bit of them, yeah, has a feeling of the old sod in them.
Right.
And they all have this tug on their heels saying, come back home to Ireland. And we talk to each other. Now, I'm Irish-born, but there's a lot of people that aren't that have the same feeling,
right,
that they want to go to see Ireland.
Yes,
and
right,
it turns out once they do, which is sometimes very difficult for these people to
but
do.
But beautiful land, right.
They want to go back again and again and again and again. And so it's lovely. But the people that live there seem to leave Ireland.
They leave. That's what I'm saying. You know, they couldn't wait to leave. And yet now somehow 3-4 generations later, we have this longing to go back and learn more. And because of that, that's why I say that the things like the Irish Fair coming up this Father's Day weekend here at the Great Park is an opportunity to connect with it. Because I don't think... Here's what I discovered. The one and only time I went to Ireland... I went with my parents a couple years before they died. They wanted to see it, and I wanted to see it, so we took a grand trip there, pilgrimage back home. And several things struck me. One, how beautiful it is, clearly, because it rains all the time, so it's green and everything here. But the other thing that struck me is they can rattle off 400 or 500 years of history in the drop of a hat. Oh, that, it was built in the 1200s, and that, oh, that's from the 1700s or whatever. I can't name anything in Orange County that's more than 50, 60 years old. We don't have that sense of history. So I think for many of us, there's something missing. And that's why we're trying to reconnect with whatever our ancestors came from here.
Well, there's nothing that old in Orange County.
Yeah, I mean, it's right. Well, 1776 is the oldest, the mission down there, and that's one. We got one of those.
Yeah. But. Otherwise, there was oranges here. That's why it's called Orange County.
So it is a chance to do that and to connect. And I have since now, I can't tell you how amazing it is, but I definitely feel a connection. Four generations later, and I feel connected when I hear Irish music, or I see Irish dancing, or Irish wolfhounds. Tell us about some of the. I didn't know there. I thought there were Irish setters. I didn't know there were all these other Irish breeds, like the massive wolfhound. Talk about that for a second.
Well, it's the largest dog in the world, and it stands on its hind feet about 7 and 7.5 feet high.
7 feet tall, this dog.
But they're about 3 feet when they're walking on all fours, so they're kind of long.
Yeah.
But anyway, there are wolfhounds. They were the ones that went after the wolves that were trying to take away their cattle and so on.
Yeah.
Biggest breed
in the world, right?
Yep.
And that came from Ireland. Then you've got all these other spaniels and other
Kerry dogs. And every county seems to have their own dog. Anyway, they'll all be at the Irish Fair, and they'll be in the parades and so on. You can see them all you can.
And why the parades? Now, I have friends.
We can't have them in Los Angeles. That's why we have the parades.
Why do the Irish love to parade in Boston?
Because they're
Chicago.
All policemen. They're all policemen. Policemen love to parade. And they have their own bagpipe bands, which, of course, is Scottish, but they play them at pans and wakes and weddings.
Isn't there a version of the bagpipe that you put under your arm?
Yeah, they're called Ilian pipes. The word Ilian is elbow. So it's played with the elbow rather than your mouth.
See, I've learned a few things here.
So you blow the air into the same. It's the same concept.
But it's like a goat's bladder or something, or sheep's bladder or something, isn't it, that they used to make them out of? I mean, how did they build a bag, a rubbery bag? I thought they actually took the bladder or something, or stomach out of it.
Well, that's lovely to say.
You didn't know that. All right. So we've got this fair coming up. How many people come? Is it a handful, or is this just for the hardcore expats like yourself? Or is this something that appeals to a broader swath of people?
Well, it does. It's a broader the squat, as you surely let me call it, of people. There's about 15.
Like that's the gift of the gift of gab that I was given when I was born.
Oh, you sure have that all together. I'm trying to put a word in exercise here. So now there's 15,000 people that came to the fair last year.
Wow!
And it's a very popular thing because there's stuff to do for the children, for the elders, and for people that like to drink a lot.
We'll get to the drinking last year, but what are the? So we got parades, we got dogs, we have dance. I'm assuming since River Dance came out, I mean, the whole world wants to dance this strange style where you don't move your hands, but you hop up and down like a.
Well, that's ancient Irish dancing, and that's what they try to stay with, except the costumes are lovely and pretty expensive, which we never had in Ireland, and the curly wigs on them. But you'll see all that at the fair. Actually, we have an area there, a stage, that'll teach you how to dance, if you like.
Wow, okay.
Teach you how to speak Irish language.
Now, that was the only thing I've never connected with. I did go to, at some Irish fair many years ago, I think it's still up here, the Brothers of St. Patrick's.
That's right, yes.
And they actually would do a Gaelic Mass or a Celtic Mass.
Well, now that you mentioned that, we do have an Irish Mass.
Do you?
Gaelic, as a matter of fact, is an overall language, like Latin.
Yeah.
But Irish is the name of our language.
One of the oldest
Scottish
languages.
Gaelic and Irish Gaelic. Oh, yeah, it goes back...
to the Dark Ages.
Pre-Christian days, sure, of course, yes.
And yet, when I heard it, I thought, well, surely it will speak to me. It's nothing but strangeness, very very guttural.
Basically, if I wanted to say thank you to you, I would say Gura Mahagat.
Gura Mahagat, okay.
Gura Mahagat. And to toast you, like everyone says cheers in Europe, I guess, it's Sláinte.
Sláinte, yeah.
It means the same thing, good health, Sláinte.
Now, is the language still supported? I just read something a while ago that it's taught in the public schools. They're a great effort to keep it alive, but truthfully, few speak it.
It's a dead language, except on the West Coast, of course, around Tralee, and we're talking about Galway and so on.
Right.
But you do have to take it in school to graduate.
Right.
And in order to work for the post office or the governmental things, you have to be proficient in Irish.
So if you want to get proficient in your native tongue, your mother tongue, then come out to the Irish Fair, and they'll actually have demonstrations or teach you the Irish.
Well, teach you how to buy a Guinness anyway. Sure.
Well, let's get to that. That's all anybody really wants to know. In our studio here, it started as a joke. I brought in a bottle of Irish whiskey and told everybody how much I love Irish whiskey. Now,
although you haven't shared that yet, I've noticed.
We're seeing how it goes. You know, you have to earn this. You had to sing for your supper here. And it's turned into a tradition here at OC Talk Radio. I must have, 6 or 8 bottles now of strange Irish whiskeys. that still is what everybody associates with being Irish drinking. And I, you know, the Irish seven-course meal, as my mother used to say, is a six-pack and a potato.
That's exactly right. Come here. We actually invented whiskey.
Ah.
Whiskey is Irish word. Ishkabaha means it's water of life.
That's what I heard. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So there you go. That's why you have it all here. It's got nothing to do with you drinking. It's got it's keeping you alive.
It's keeping us alive. And in fact, in the old days, I had a bar for a number of years called Kelly McHugh's here in Southern California. Those who in Mission Viejo was there for 10 years, a long time. And we used to serve lots of Irish whiskey and put all these effort into teaching people about it. And one of the things I learned is that in the early days, not the whiskey, but the Guinness, which we'll talk about next, the Irish beer, oh, that was actually supposed to be good for you. They thought it was actually had health benefits to it.
Well, it's true. It does.
Only if you don't eat anything else, right?
Well, there are people that live on Guinness here because it's got vitamins and iron and all the things you need for life. You know,
it's good for you.
It's a hell of a lot better than a vegan, I'll tell you that.
Don't tell it to my wife, who is a vegan, but all right.
There you go. Feed her some Guinness, don't you?
So we have, I'm sure we're going to have some tents there with Irish brews and Irish whiskeys and whatnot. What do we get to taste and
Well, there is, of course, going to be spirits there. There's also wine for the lovelies from
Orange
County.
I'm not talking about the fairies floating around. I don't want those kind of spirits. I mean, you're talking about real spirits, drinking spirits here.
Jesus, would you give it a rest? Yeah, spirits, all right. So in any event, there'll be tasting for all that sort of thing. We have Guinness as one of our sponsors, is why I'm chatting about them.
Naturally.
Well, we've got a semi-trailer full of Guinness.
Wow.
And it has 17 pullers on the side. So everybody's going to get
17 taps. You can get a...
That's at the main stage. And then we have two other music stages where we have Guinness on draft along with a lager, probably harp.
Yeah.
And then we have two dancing stages as well.
And I had to learn when I went to Ireland, I didn't know this, that because Guinness has nitrogen in it, at least in the draft version of it. Actually, I think they put it in the bottles now, too. It will float on top of other beers. So you do what a black and tan, a half and half. You can get the Guinness to float on top of the harp. I never knew that.
So what?
Well, I don't know.
All right, so anyways, we're just drinking the beer.
Trying to add a little extra knowledge that people can come
Here's
out
some more knowledge for you. We have sheep herding at the fair as well.
Ooh, sheep herding.
Yeah, we have, that's a lovely draw, that.
Something
and it shows
never
how
see.
The collies actually herd the sheep in the hills of Ireland, and it's a very important part of the money that Ireland individuals make by selling their sheep.
And the sweaters that they make from it.
Sharing the sheep and everything. So you couldn't do it in the rough lands and so on because there's so many hedgerows and everything. So sheep are just put out on fallow land that's mostly peat. So they can eat that stuff.
And they can scrounge and eat anything.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, one of the things, again, not many years ago, going to the Irish fair, I learned this. My wife's a big dog lover, as am I. We watched the demonstration, which is amazing how these dogs herd the sheep, move them around. The guy whistles and these little commands, and he suddenly moves the herd one way or another, and they have competitions, right?
Right.
So I go up to the guy, and my wife has to say this. She says, does it hurt the dogs? I mean, are you like, you know, beating them to get to do this? He laughs. He says, beat them. He said, we can't stop them from doing this.
That's right.
It's in their blood. They really, they were bred to do this, and that's what they just love doing.
And it's brilliant to watch, actually, sure. And then for the children, which is there we have this leprechaun village.
Ah.
Which has all sorts of stuff for the children to do, little games, little balls to roll around inside.
Are the wee people going to be there?
They're always there. They're underneath the ground. They're fur bugs. Okay.
And what did you call them? You called them like fur? No.
F-I-R, fur bugs, B-O-L-G-S, fur bugs.
Fur bugs. Okay, and that just means they're under the... They're
no, that's an ancient tribe of Irish, well before the Celts that are there.
Okay.
Those are the wee people.
And they exist to this day.
Well, they do, because they were overcome by the Celts and others from Africa. And so they went underground, and that's where they are today. So when you talk about leprechauns and stuff, they come out with their pot of gold, and they tease you into trying to catch them so you can get the gold.
That's it.
But that's at the end of a rainbow. Did you ever try to get to an
under
a rainbow?
I just saw one the other day, and I raced out, but by the time I got there, it evaporated.
So. A fool's mission.
Well, you'd be foolish not to go to the Irish Fair. All I can tell you is it's a lot of fun. And if you've never been there, you're thinking, okay, I've been to fairs and whatnot. This one is, it's a storybook.
Well, there's more stuff there.
Oh,
there is.
You can't be.
Sure. We have Gaelic football demonstrations there. we had...
How about hurling? Did they do hurling?
We hurl. Hurling is the name of the sport.
That's
hurl.
Not what you do after you drink too much beer.
Well, that's, some of these names came from all those days, don't you know?
I bet.
But the name of the stick that you use, it's mayhem, of course. Everybody has a stick. Mm-hmm. Irishmen, 22 Irishmen going after each other, and they call it a sport. Only there in Ireland with these big sticks. They're called hurleys.
Yeah. And it's really kind of strange. It's almost sort of like field hockey to me or something. You chase your little ball and you bounce it and you do something and you chase.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's why we have the demonstration there to show people like you what the hell it is.
Right.
And the Gaelic Park is, of course, where the big balloon is, the big orange balloon.
So now, how can you have an orange? I'm sorry. I'm Catholic. So an orange balloon might be a little offensive to me here if you're from the south and not from the north here.
Well, we have the hands across the water now, don't you know?
Ah.
We're all at peace. God help us. So at the end of the day, the flag of Ireland is green, white, and gold. It used to be back in the old days. Now it's green, white, and orange.
Yes, right.
In relationship to the English who have the six counties in Northern Ireland.
Who all came from the Duke of Orange, William and Mary. And when they came over and had the last big Battle of the Boyne, that's why because he was from Orange Holland, color orange became
King Billy, they called him.
Yeah.
William
King
of Orange.
There you go. So, see, I learned a little bit along the way here. I picked up some history here.
Good.
Well, I look forward to it happening. Well, give us times, dates again here, and where we can go to learn more.
All right. Well, it's the Irish Fair Music Festival. You can look it up on the Facebook or Instagram or Twitter and all that other silly stuff. We also have our website, which is the... IrishFair.org.
The IrishFair.org. I'm looking at it right now. You can buy tickets. You can get info there and all sorts of stuff here. Is it expensive?
Well, sure it's expensive. This is a great thing here. You know,
this doesn't come to you cheaply.
Not at all. Not at all. But is it $75? No.
No.
Is it $50? No.
No, that's not
buying it online is
$20,
which is really cheap. You know, if you miss that, you're slow. You can buy tickets at the door for $25.
Wow.
But in that vein, parking is free.
I would love that. Why do not more places do that? I always hate when I get there, and then I find out it's another $20 to park. That always
Because they're
up.
Probably Orangemen.
Yeah, but we won't go there.
No, we won't go there. No, of course we won't. Just a joke.
Just a joke for all those. All right, so, and you're doing something, even good things? I saw something to support the homeless or something in here? What's that?
Well, not supporting the homeless so much as feeding them. What we're doing now, the Second Harvest collects cans of food for the hungry at our gate on Sunday mornings at 9:30.
And you win what, a little free ticket or something?
Well, not a free ticket. Jesus, well, let me tell you your own story. You'll be giving away the house, sir. But you get $4 off.
$4
for a couple of cans, and it's a nice thing to do, but you got to be there between 9:30 and 10 to do that.
Okay.
And then at 10 o'clock on Sunday, we have an Irish Mass we were talking about earlier on.
I would love to go. What time is that again?
That's at 10 o'clock Sunday morning, and we also have a Protestant service at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Why not?
In a different area, of course, so we don't fight each other. So with all the people there, they go to Mass and go to the Protestant thing and then go to all the different stages and hear the music. We have tents galore. We have the main tent that feeds 1,200 people. The other smaller ones, 600 and 700 people, all under a canvas. So if you're an Irish white fella like me own self,
you won't burn in the sun there.
In 2 minutes, I'm burnt.
Me too.
All right.
I thought it was fun to go to Ireland, and I learned so much about myself and this characteristic, like the love of laughter, the love of talk, the gift of gab, all these things that I just thought came out of nowhere. Apparently grew out of that rocky, crazy soil in this little island there. And one of the things that struck me is the bars all closed, at least in those days. This is back in the 80s or 90s. They closed, I think, at like midnight or something. And I thought, why so early? Well, they start drinking at like noon or whatever there. So, you know.
Well, that's a truth and a non-truth. But anyway, I'll let you live with that. Sure, I will. But let's go back to Tralee for a second.
Yes.
I want to tell you a wee story of something that's
kind
of fun.
We'll end in Tralee here. Right. Tralee is where? In the western?
Tralee is in Kerry. Kerry is the kingdom of Ireland.
Mm.
And it's it's on the west coast. It's in North Kerry. And Tralee used to make automobiles. And one of the automobiles, not one, the only automobile they made in Kerry was a company called the Shamrock Mobile.
Uh-huh.
Hard to believe. And so that was around in 1969 and 70. And it went out of business, apparently. But there is only one left. And guess where you'll see it?
Let me think. Do I get two guesses?
I'll give you one. It's the Irish Fair.
The Irish Fair.
So anyway, the Irish band lineup, you want to hear this year.
Irish music, I find a lot of my friends, even who aren't Irish, are drawn to this sound of traditional Irish music. I don't know what makes it so appealing, but there has been for a long time an uptick in interest for traditional music of all kind, particularly Irish music, maybe going with river dance and all that stuff. Give us the bands. Who's coming?
Well, on the main stage are the Fenians, which have been around for about 25 years in Orange County.
They're based on here, and they're wonderful.
They're all over the country. They do lovely stuff. The Young Dubliners, which is another group
famous
from Southern California that does all the work. The Crack in the Stone. Crack, C-R-A-I-C, means party, good times, having fun.
Okay.
So how was the crack today? The crack was mighty.
Yes, all right.
So the Crack in the Stone. Sligo Rags, Sligo being in a county in Ireland.
Yeah.
And the Plowboys, which makes the sense, P-L-O-U-G-H boys.
Because the original flag of those that tried to, in the Great Uprising, where they call it the Time of the Troubles or whatever, didn't it have a plowshare or something?
Plow and Stars, it was
there
called.
There you go. See, I know these things.
Then we have a band called Mary's Lane from Cleveland. We have a group called Killian's Angels, who are from Las Vegas.
Naturally. Where else are the Angels but in Las Vegas here?
We got a band we got a one-man band here that calls himself a trio. I have no idea how he's going to pull that off. but he's interesting, so we hired him.
Well, Griffin Healy, I think you're a one-man band here today. How do you put this whole thing on? How many years you've been doing it?
40 years. This is our 40th anniversary of the Irish Fair. We have been in the valleys. We've been in the Santa Anita Racetrack. You've probably been there.
That's where I saw it, years ago. That's where I went to it, a couple times.
Before that, we were in the Equestrian Center. Then we moved over to Orange County. We were at the Great Lion Safari. And then, of course, that was all closed down. Yeah, so now we're in the lovely Great Park.
In the Great Park. Well, it's a great day at the Great Park and a great time to be Irish. Even if you're not Irish, you'll feel like you're Irish. Go to the Irish Fair coming up next one at the Great Park right here in Irvine. Thank you so much for coming by, sharing some of your story. I could just turn the mic on and just listen to you talk forever here. I love give us something in Gaelic to take us out here.
I will say goodbye to you, Slán Lat. And if you're on the road, Slán Awalia, safe home, that means.
All right. May the road rise to meet you or something here?
May the road rise up to meet you. May the sun be on your fields and all that sort of nonsense that comes around of a prayer, actually, many years ago, and it's been in songs and everything, and everybody has their version of it. But anyway, that's very kind. Gura Mahagat.
All right. Thanks so much. Well, it's been a great day to be an Irishman here on the Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net, where we bring you updates and ideas and information with people like the folks at the Great Irish Fair coming up right here at the Great Park. Don't miss it.